Vayomer le Yonatan Mocher Chodesh. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Yonatan says to David, "Nivgadatah," and you're going to be absent, or rather, you're going to be noticed. Kibaked Moshevecho, because your place will be checked, and you won't be sitting in your place. In other words, you're going to go into hiding for the next couple of days. So, if you turn to my notes, just want to chaz over this Reb Tzadik Veinborn Reb Tzadik in the third to last page. Avraham HaMelech is the siman of Rosh Chodesh. We all know that when the Romans would not allow the Jews to publicize explicitly that Rosh Chodesh had been determined, so the siman they used to send to the Gola, to here this page, to Golus would be, to the Gola would be that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. It's where Rosh Chodesh Av Chav Hei, and that is why the reason why we say that line in Kiddush Levana. And the reason why this is so is because David represents the sanctity of Teshuvah. That was just like the moon waxes and wanes, so too an individual is not in a high plateau their entire lives, but rather a person goes through ups and downs, and David HaMelech represents the returning to God after a period of being away. V'zeo k'dushas Rosh Chodesh, says Reb Tzadok. V'schachus o'yarech, where this is the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh, when the moon renews itself, the light of the moon renews itself, achashefil, after it was dark. V'nitan l'Yisrael, this is given to the Jews, shasim ischadesh k'mosa, who themselves become renewed like the moon, k'shayuk babaleit, when they become fixed in their heart, gam darko de David HaMelech lo v'shom, also the level of David HaMelech, v'nefash of k'yisrael, and the souls of all of Israel. V'zeo l'asin, this will be in the future, she'yivakshu, as David Malcolm, when they quest David, their king. But somebody is Gaus Oro believe Kulam, in other words, and everybody wants to experience the light of David, the illumination of Teshuvah, so then there will be a grand Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to get to that later on, when the ultimate Gula comes about, and the ultimate renewal of the world comes about. Okay? And then there will be an Aliyah L'Rega, there will be a pilgrimage festival every Rosh Chodesh, She'kdushas HaChodesh K'kdushas HaShabbos. And it will be just like Shabbos, V'yomidei Chodesh B'chodeshomidei Shabbos V'Shabbato Yovako V'Shtachavos V'necho Hashem. Everybody will come to bow down to God. No, Rosh Chodesh, like Shabbos, will be a time, which is an initiation of Kedusha for the entire month, which is a set and static Kedusha, just like Shabbos is, for Kodemisar, and it's going to be even more significant, says, and then afterwards Shabbos in the Pasuk, which describes the pilgrimages in the world to come. Because where the Bali Tshuva stand, even the Tzadikim cannot stand. So Shchodesh eventually will be on the Yom Adre, even than Shabbos, but not yet. That's the Madrega of Lasi Glava, the world to come. Now, it struck me while I was reading this, that the very concept of David, the word David, is clearly related to the word Dod. Now, modern Hebrew Dod means uncle. But in biblical Hebrew, Dod means, besides uncle, beloved. Right? Ani l'dodi v'din v'dodi li, etc., etc. So the concept of David is obviously clearly related to Dodim, which means love. And love always implies a distance to be traversed. Kicholas ava anochi, right, the ani, I forget the exact lesson there, but by Shira Shirim, we say that Akuklaisol is lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kaisol is in love with Hashem, and Hashem is in love with Kaisol, and there's a distance, a gap, which Shira Shirim describes the whole time as the fact that the two lovers cannot get together. So this distance is constantly to be traversed, yearning to come closer. So this, I believe, is also part of the Rosh Chodesh issue. In other words, David is coming from a distance. He's coming from with great love to overcome this distance and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's part of the reason, I think, why David was appointed king. Chazal tells us that he was appointed king because he had a kupah shel shvatzim munachachrav. He came from a dark and bleak background with all sorts of questionable things in his yichus and all that kind of stuff. Why? In order that he should have a distance to traverse and a love to fulfill and a renewal, so to speak, a hischachus coming towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is all the concept of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore David is very intimately connected with Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Now we're going to talk about that more in the next couple of psukim. Let's see first the next pasuk. Yutzes, very, very important pasuk. V'shilashta. You should go away either for 3 days, or the Malbim says, very interesting, Malbim says, there's a field here. each they go a third more distance into the field. They were talking out in the field where they were supposed to hide. So he says, the Magoyim, the Mavi, go each day a little bit more distant, because each day there'll be greater danger. Because Shaul will, you know, become more and more aware of your absence and become more and more likely to pursue you. So each day go a third of the way further into the field. Tered mod, and though very far away, and come then to this place on the third day, to the place where you hid on the Yom HaMaaseh, the day literally of the deed. The question is, what does that mean, the day of the deed? Come back to in a second. And you should sit by the stone, the guide stone. Eben Ezra was like a sign stone, which said, you know, this way to Beit Lechem, this way to Yerushalayim. It was like a signpost, right? So that's what an Eben Ezra was. Go sit by the Eben Ezra literally means the stone of going places. Now, the fascinating radak here. I wrote it down. Take a look back on my notes here. Radak says a similar thing in the Malbim. The Tirgim Yonason Ben Uziel translates Biyom Haseh means Biyom Chol on the weekday. Chloimar, it means Biyom Chol on the weekday. Shosva Malacha, which you could do Malacha. Because now David was told to hide by Yonasan on Rosh Chodesh. And they wouldn't do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, just like women don't do Malacha today, in our day and age, right? Maybe because they used to have a special carbon Rosh Chodesh, the day in which there was a carbon Musaf after all, a special carbon. Many people were free from the work. They would come to bow down before God. So too it seems in the Vuv Yecheskel about the world to come, the Rosh Chodesh will be a day of no melacha. Now concerning this, Reb Tzadok says a very, very amazing thing. Why women don't do work on Rosh Chodesh? Ki yesh roshim l'mafrei, by the way, an interesting thing, says Rabbi Yosheb ben Soloveitchik in Besoda Yochid Vayachad, which is one of his Sifrei Machshava, expresses a similar idea, which I have a theory about Rabbi Yosheb ben, that he was very much... How should I say this? He was into Hasidus, although he wouldn't tell you that explicitly. He would deny it if you ever accuse him of it. But no, it's known that he learned Tanya quite a great deal because he had a Lubavitcher teacher, a Melamed, in his youth. And he was, in fact, one summer in Anset, he even gave shiurim in Tanya. But besides that, you find many, many parallels in his thought with Hasidus. School with Lubavitcher Rebbe? Lubavitcher went to engineering school. He went to philosophy school. They weren't in the same... Lubavitcher was also in Berlin for a short time, but the Rebbe's degree is really from the Sorbonne, not from the Berlin. In any event, he says, Ki yesh roshem l'mafreya. It's an amazing concept. There is a retroactive impression. By that he means, most events which we celebrate, we celebrate because they occurred already, such as Pesach, we celebrate because Yitzias Mitzrayim occurred, Shavuos, because Matan Torah occurred, Purim, because the Nes with Haman and Mordechai occurred. We have one Yontif which we celebrate because of an event which will someday occur, and that is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is celebrated because eventually it's going to be a pilgrimage festival. It's not yet. And nothing of any major significance has ever happened on Rosh Chodesh. Yet Rosh Chodesh someday will be an event of epic proportions, a major proportions. So therefore now that already creates an impression. The impression created by the future in the present is not as strong as an impression created by the past on the present. But that's why Rosh Chodesh is not on the same level of Yontif as any other Yom Tovim. But it does create an impression. And that's the significance of Rosh Chodesh. What? Any Rosh Chodesh. Because eventually, all the Rosh Chodesh will be pilgrimage festivals. Aliyah L'Regels. So it's a very, very, very big chiddush, which I'm sort of saying, and it's important to realize this, that events which have not yet occurred already make an impact. Do you see what he's saying? Now, real roshim say no mitzari is galus. However, this impression is not explicit. Sharei beniglu kach bechir, because on an explicit level, things have to do with bechir, it's free will. And if you haven't yet exercised free will in this regard, then you can't really have that same kind of impression. Shemel yivchar b'tzof, because maybe that free will not be exercised in a proper way. Like we said, Ahelim, that's why it's hidden. V'zeh iyon k'dushas Rosh Chodesh lo nizkar b'Torah klal. And that's why the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh is not mentioned in the Torah at all. Ki lo hayobo izgalu shechina b'avar, because there was never a revelation of divine presence on Rosh Chodesh in the past. Rak lo'asid, only in the future, Ne'emar says, v'yomidei chodesh b'chodeshim b'dei Shabbos v'shabbato, yuavo v'gomer, will they come to an aliyah l'rego. She'agili anocheach, in the world to come, then we will be able to perceive the divine presence opposite us, gam b'Rosh Chodesh. And then it will be called a new song that says by the Gula, what do we say by the Agada? The Nomai Lefan of Shira Chadasha, right? So the world to come is called a Shira Chadasha. And the Pesach says, when do you sing? I don't mean when you sing a song, Zmiras, when do you sing a song, a Karlebach song? When do you compose a poem? When you compose some sort of a song of glory. So when do you say something like that? When you're impressed by some event which has occurred before your eyes, right? When you've seen something dramatic occur, then you're moved to compose a poem, a song, something to express your joy. So in the world to come, it says, "Kaz v'nomer l'fan of shir chadasha." And Shirlo Shir Chodosh. The Gula brings new song. What does it mean, new song? That constantly there's going to be new and greater revelations, and those newer and greater revelations constantly compel individuals to make new songs all the time. To recognize and express their joy at the new revelations. So that Rosh Chodesh in the world to come will be a time of Shir Chodosh. Because song comes out of cognition. On every moment, there'll be a new cognition. A new song. And there'll be no moment in which they will sing a song which has already been stated in the moment before, because each moment will be a new revelation. And this newness, this constant renewal, is embedded in Rosh Chodesh. Because the Shchodesh is the concept of renewal. V'ru amazli, so this alludes to the Jews. Sha'asim is Chodesh Kamosa, who become renewed like Rosh Chodesh. V'dovin HaMelech HaMelech Lava Shalom Bichon, especially Dovin HaMelech. V'lachein nizkar ina klushas HaChodesh B'kosuv, and that's why the concept of the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh appears in the Tanakh, Rak bin Dovin HaMelech Lava Shalom Mishol, only here. V'misham, and from here and here alone, L'meidim Sudas Rosh Chodesh, do we see the concept of a Suda on Rosh Chodesh? Because they had a Suda. Why? To Aznis Chodesh or his Galus or Zeh, then there became renewed, or I should say, there came anew a revelation of light. Based on Cholas Bini and Malchus Yisrael, when they began building the kingship of Am Yisrael in general, Bichlal, Umachos Beitav Bifrad, and the kingship of the house of David specifically. This is the beginning of his galus, of the revelation of reshimas, of the impression of the or of the illumination, the lost seed of the world to come. Why is Rosh Chodesh given in this world to the women? Because they didn't make the ego. If not for the ego, there would already be freedom from the governments which subjugate us, and from the evil inclination, like the world to come. We would have merited that kedusha, quickly, immediately. And the women who did not have a portion in this deed of the Maisa Ego, Mesigim Rishimu Zuyesa, they already grasp this impression of the world without the Yetzirah, and the world free of the subjugation of the evil powers. Yoser to a greater extent. Uvevadai, and says in Tzadik an amazing, amazing thing. The chain bechovadai the cane, it's certainly the true. Bechol dor v'dor amiskai v'likvei Mashiach, is each and every generation comes closer to the footfalls of Mashiach, nizgal ha'kdusha s'chodesh yoser, the kdusha v'chodesh becomes more revealed. Just like Shabbos is felt more, Shabbos on the days which precede the Shabbos, Thursday and Friday every week. See what I'm saying, Rabbi Isai? That Rosh Chodesh is the Yontif of the future. And people who are more future-oriented, the women, have more of an impression of Rosh Chodesh even in this world. And that this Yontif is connected to David HaMelech, because David HaMelech represents the renewal, which is the hallmark and the feature of the world to come. That's a very important thing about David, and perhaps, although this is not explicit anywhere in the Pesukim, perhaps we can define the distinction between Shaul and David to a certain extent, another nuance of that distinction based on what we're saying now. David is, the concept of a David is to constantly come closer. To come closer, you sometimes draw backwards. You know, you go one step back and two steps forward. That's David HaMelech. Shaul, he didn't draw those two steps, the step backwards. He never sinned. It says about Shaul. But on the other hand, he wasn't propelled forward either in the same way as David. That yearning, that coming closer, that constant tug of the love towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shaul didn't have. He didn't have the tug in the other direction either. He didn't have either of those tugs. But that was the difference between Shaul and David HaMelech. And David HaMelech represents, therefore, in that case, the traversing of distance, the ultimate connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which the world to come represents as well. And that's why it's connected with Rosh Chodesh. Okay? So far, so good? We're going to come back to this in a few more minutes again, I think. A few more minutes. Okay, hopefully tonight. Now, let's go on. Oh, one more thing here. It is perhaps significant that Rosh Chodesh appears in conjunction with an Evan HaEzel. This is a little bit of a drush on my part, but so what? A sign stone. In other words, that's like coming to a crossroads and telling you which way to go. So now Am Yisrael is being placed on a track to this Chiddush of Rosh Chodesh and the Chiddush of the Shir Chodesh. So therefore, this is the Evan HaEzel, the sign at the crossroads for Am Yisrael to go forward and continue in this direction towards David HaMelech, away from the position of Shaul. Okay. Let's go on. Pasuk Chaf. Vani Shloshes Achitim Tzida Oreh. The three arrows towards your side or towards the side of the stone will shoot. It's a question here, a grammatic question, whether tzida shavamapike or not. So does it mean to the side of the stone? Does it mean to the side? Whatever. In any event, I'll shoot the three arrows. L'shalech li matara, to set for me a target. Now, there's an interesting Malbim here. The Malbim says that arrows were chosen because they're a metaphor. The Malbim says that arrows were chosen because it alludes to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is called an arrow. And it's called because it kills people. In other words, it's a Chazal say it kills three: the people who tells it, the person who accepts it, and the person who is the subject of the conversation. So David HaMelech Yonatan is saying to David that I'm going to use arrows as a sign because arrows represent the impact which the people of saying Lashon Hara to Shaul might have had upon him in getting him to want to kill you. So that's why that'll be my sign. Okay, be that as it may, so I'm going to shoot three arrows. Now, behold, I'm going to send a lad to go and find the arrows. I'm going to say to the lad, the arrows are closer from you towards me, towards you and the son. Take it. It sounds like he's saying to David HaMelech, to David, you bring the arrow, you can come out of your hiding place. Uvon, come to me. Because that'll be a sign to show him that everything is at peace, reigned over, and there's nothing wrong, Chai Hashem, by the life of God. If I say, whatever, to the youth. The arrows are beyond you. Lech. Then David run away. Kishilachecho Hashem, because then God has sent you away. In other words, it's clearly a sign from me that you should go away. The things are that Hashem wants you to leave because things are bad here. There's a very important Malbim here. Let's see the Malbim. Turn back to the first page. In the Dvar Shmuel.
Excuse me.
In Chafal. In Omar Omar, Nasr Roshne Simon. He gave David two sides. First of all, how he addresses the lad will be crucial. If he says Vahena, they're towards me, or beyond you. Sheyomar Vahena, if he'll say they're towards me, Zeshimon Shetav Vahena, it's a sign to David, come to me. Vimomar Vahola, if I say however they go further, Zeshimon Shetav Vahola, it's a sign that you should run further away. Furthermore, Bim Omar Yomar Yomar Lanar Ola Elam. You talk about the show Yonasar in one place uses the word Nar and the other place uses the word Elam. Kishem Elam, because the word Elam, Mole Yoser, has more of a meaning, Alagvura, of strength, Vizrizus, and haste. Mishem Nar than the name Nar, than the word Nar does. Flesh Kazai, the common claims, I could write and wrote in several places. Utsomar means, Shabim Yorachitim and Malcolm Karev, it's Yonasan, that shoots the arrows nearby, Bomachemin and Arvena, that'll be closer in from the lad, Yomar Lanar. He'll say to the Nar, Shikro Bashem Nar, he'll call him a Nar. Kain Tzarek Zizu is called Kokachlim Tzarekitim Shin Grovin. Because first of all, you don't need that much haste to find the arrows when they're closer. Vasimil David, and this will also be assigned to David. Shain Tzarek Lazares, he doesn't have to make haste, Livrach, and run away and flee. Rakis Gal, put him on my own eye, come out of his hiding place, while the tree lad is still even standing there. However, Vim Yorachit Tzalamakam Rachok, if he sends the arrows some blare distance, Sha'az Yomar La'elem, then he'll say to the Elem, Sheyizareh, that it should make haste, Lematzim Chish, to find them quickly. V'zeh Simul David, this would be a sign for David, Allah's Rizus Livrach, they should be quick and hasty to run away. V'gam Yeda, Kishomer, means Galus Ma'amad Anar. And also, the word Elem itself, which means to hide as well, means that David should not reveal himself while the lad is around. Kilakach nikru Elem. Then that's why it was called an Elem. That she is Dares Bachitin, that should make haste. The lad should make haste, and also David should make haste, and that they should not do this incognito. He should do this incognito, and quickly run away. They should go away from here. Kamoshaya, like was indeed the case. Okay, now the Biach Fabiano says, "Mom, already explained." Show you our bow funny that there were four possible attitudes to Shoal to take. Echochim saw Shoal Tovo David. One, that Yonatan will find the Shoal and David is looking good at David. Vaz Yushnei Simonim. The Tova. And then Yonatan will give two good signs. Shame Nar, both the word Nar and Milas, the word Hena. Oven Shani, another possibility is that Shimsenu Beraimo, that Yeshua will be found completely evil vis-a-vis David. Vaz Yehbo say Shnei Simonim Leron, then there'll be two negative signs. Shame Elam, the name Elam, Umilas Volan, the word, and further. Vot Shnei Ofanim, Sheistapek, Mabele Shol. However, there are other possibilities in which Yonasa will not be sure what Shol wants. Vaz Yemozob Simonecho, if he's not sure, he's only going to give one Simon. Either the word Elam, or the word Hola, or the word Nar, or the word Hena. There was one of the two Simonim on each side. That's why it says, if he's going to say to the Nar, the word Hena, then take the Arab and Kishol Mechol, because things are good, vain Dover. Then there's nothing to be worried about. Even a possibility of danger. Say the young lad, the gan v'hol, and also beyond. Then he'll be saved with the intervention and coordination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because then it's clear that there's danger. And if you only use one of these two simonim in either direction, then the thing would be clear to David, not clear, but it would be David who understand that there's a suffix, nobody knows exactly what's going on. Okay. Yeah, it's a very interesting Rashi here. I'm not sure what to make of it. You take a look in Rashi, in Pasuk. Can I find it? Yeah, in Pasuk Chavav, at the end of Pasuk Chavav, Rashi says, if I tell the lad to bring the arrow in, or rather, I say that the arrow is closer to me, then you, David, take it and come out of your hiding place. Say, come out yourself from the place you're hiding, and take the arrow, boy, and come to me. You have nothing to be afraid of. Kishon l'chol, peace unto you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chavet sh'teikan, God wants you to be here. Lo tiroha, and do not be afraid. Bafilu shamati mi aba ra, even if I hear from my father negative things. It's a shocking Rashi. Rashi is saying that somehow Yonasan was taking into account the circumstances in which his father would talk to say bad things about David. But Yonasan would know that it really wasn't that bad. And then Yonasan, on his own achrayus, on his own responsibility, would assure David and have David come back. Which is shocking. I don't understand how Yonasan could have possibly known this. That if Shaul says, I ate David, then Yonasan can nonetheless come over to David and say, don't worry, things will be fine. Either that, he maybe knew how to discern that, or he had some Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know exactly what's going on. All right, in any event, let's go. I'm Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'adavara shedibayin oni v'ato, regardless of what happens, those things which we spoke, I and you, hinei Hashem b'ini v'incha ad olam, will be fulfilled, because God is between me and between you forever. V'ayisaser David basodeh, so David's hid in the field. V'ayu achodesh, and became Rosh Chodesh. V'ayeshu ha-melech ha-lech m'chol, and the king sat el ha-lech m'chol to the bread to eat. There's a Kriyuk Sivya, I don't know what to make of it. It says here, El, Ayin Lamed, but we read it El, Aleph Lamed. So I'm not sure why there's this, what the meaning of the Kriyuk Sivya is. Both words would have been correct in context. Okay, both on and by. Vayesha Melchim Oshavo, Kipam Pazukhafei. The king sat on his seat, on his throne, I guess. Kipam Mepam, like he usually did. El Moshav Akir by the wall, which I guess was an honor to put spots. Now Yonasan was sitting right next to him, where David would normally have sat when Shaul entered the room. And it was not regarded as derech eretz in those days for the son to sit right next to the father. So when his father arose, Yonasan got up with a great show, in order that Shaul should realize that David's not there. Vayeshev Avner, and again, since it's not their heritage for Yonasan to sit next to his father, so who took the place of David? Vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul. Avner, who was a relative and a general, he sat next to Shaul. Vayipokid Mokum David, in the place of David, was noted to be absent. Okay? So David, Shaul, Yonasan made it clear that David is not present, that Shaul should notice it. What? Again, normally the way the seating was with Shaul, David, Yonasan. So before Shaul came to the room, Yonasan was sitting in David's place. Then when Shaul came in, Yonasan got up. He wouldn't have sat there anyway, because it's not their heritage for the son to sit next to his father. But he waited till Shaul entered, so Shaul would see that he was sitting there and noticed that the normal occupant of that seat was not there, because the seat was then vacant when Yonasan got up. And then Avner, who didn't normally sit there, sat there to fill the vacancy. Right. No, he wasn't part of the plot. He was just, because he, I guess in Hashivas, in Shaul's household, he was the next in line. Just coincidental. I guess they moved up one. It was him, it was a kosher. It wasn't their cheretz to leave for Yonasan to sit there, but it wasn't their cheretz to leave the seat empty either. So that's what I guess is happening here. Okay. Velo, pasuk chavav, that's the fascinating pasuk. Velo, he bears shol mu'uma, vayomu. Shol said nothing on that day. Ki amar, he said mikrehu. It's a coincidence. Bilti tahar hu ki lo tahar. He's not tahar. That's why he's not here, because he's not tahar. There's a lot of interesting interpretations in this pasuk. The Rabag and the Malbim both have Shol, and Shol says Bilti Tar Ki Lo Tahar, Bilti Tar Hu Ki Lo Tahar. So they interpret that to mean that Shol was saying about David, he had an emission last night, or he had he had relations during the day today, and that's why he's not here. Why? Because Shol considers David to be an unclean person. What he's saying is, Biltitar, who he had some incident or event which made him not tar, kilo tar, because David himself is not a pure person. The Malbim says that Shol perceived David as being a big Baal Taiva, and therefore he had some improper thoughts, and that's why he came to have an emission at night or during the day that day. And the Rabag says that the way Shol perceived David is that David liked having relations all the time. So therefore, since David liked having relations all the time, so he had relations today in the middle of the day, and that's why he wasn't around to come to the Suda. So in any event, the Radak says, why is Tumah a problem? So he says, either they had such a minhag during those days that they would, even though they were not eating holy food, they would still be careful to eat when they were tar, or because it was Rosh Chodesh, they were actually eating shlomim, and therefore they had to be tar. Regardless, there was some kpeda, they would not have let tar people come to the meal. The Targum has another interesting shot here. He says it's two separate things. Mikrehu doesn't mean an incident which concerns some sort of taiva type activity, but rather something happened to him. Either something happened to him, or he's not tahor. And that the Targum says, actually it's not the Targum, somebody else says that. But the Targum, I forget who that is. Who says that? Radak says that. What the Targum says is, at the end of the pasuk, I don't know how he sticks this in, but he says at the end of the pasuk, Duma Lora Chazal. Maybe David went on a trip, and since we didn't invite him explicitly to come today to the meal, so therefore he went away. Today he's not here. He was not around. Okay. Because it made, so Shol didn't ask any questions on that first day, which David was gone. Now, Vayimi Machras HaKodesh HaSheni, Pasuk of Zayin, came to pass on the next day. Now there's a Machlokas where there was a two-day Rosh Chodesh, which is interesting. It was two-day Rosh Chodesh. How did you used to have 2 days Rosh Chodesh in the old days? How did you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh? How would it come about? Nowadays, you just look at the Luach. If it says 2 days Rosh Chodesh, we keep 2 days Rosh Chodesh. But in the old days, it didn't work that way. How would they have 2 days Rosh Chodesh? If the Adim didn't come on the first day, or they came the second Beis HaMikdash, even they came late in the day, they'd still make the two-day Rosh Chodesh. The first Beis HaMikdash, it was if the Adim didn't come at all during the first day, they only came the second day, so then it would be two-day Rosh Chodesh. So it's interesting, they had a Suda on the first day Rosh Chodesh. It's just an interesting side point. They had a Suda on the first day Rosh Chodesh, even though the Adim hadn't yet come. Because Aratzad, that the Adim would come, it would be Rosh Chodesh, so therefore they gave it all the trappings of a Rosh Chodesh already. So that's an interesting, I guess, tangent here. So in any event, this question here whether this is a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and Machlokes HaKodesh Sheni means the second day of Rosh Chodesh, or in fact this is a one-day Rosh Chodesh. And therefore Machlokes HaKodesh Sheni means on the second day of that month, whatever month that was, not on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So be as it may, on the second day, the next day, David wasn't there either. David, the place of David was empty. So Shol says to Yonasan, his son, Madula Bab and Yishai Gamtmo Gamayom Alechem. Why does the son of Yishai not come neither today nor yesterday to the eat? Bayan, Yonason Shol, so Shol replied to Yonason replied to Shol. Mishol Nishal David me Madia Beis Lechem. David was requested for me to go to Beis Lechem. Bayom, and he said to me, Shachini, send me home. No, please. Kisever Mishbachol Ilanu, because we have a family feast by here in the city of Beis Lechem. Vutziv Ali Achi, my brother, my older brother Eliyav, command me to come home. In the old days, they used to listen to older brothers. Each word here is cut off, the last word in the line. If I found favor in your eyes, let me go away, run away for briefly. And I'll see my brothers. And that's why I didn't come to the table of the king. So it's interesting, none of them should pick up on this, but I think they should have. That it says here, Imolta. Now, Imolta literally means, as the Targum points out, Ishtazev. I should flee to be saved. So I think what the, I think really Yonason chose that word very carefully. Yonason was trying to get a rise out of Shaul, so to speak. And was using the word imoto, which David would have used, where he actually described his fleeing from Shaul and going elsewhere. So in order to see how David responded, and Shaul responded to that, Yonason used that word imoto to plant the suggestion in Shaul's mind, oh, David might have to run away from here because of your activities. And then when he sees how Shaul responds, he'll know if Shaul, in fact, has some antipathy towards David in his heart. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say with Imolta? Why did David use the Lashon of Imolta? Yonason used the Lashon of Imolta, no. In describing David's discussion with him, as opposed to Arutzana, a run away, or Elchana, a go there. Because he was trying to get a rise out of Shaul, to goad Shaul to responding to the concept underlying such a word. Does David indeed have to flee from you, or does David not have to flee from you? He was trying to manipulate Shaul's mind to get into his head and see what's going on inside. So now comes a very, very difficult pasuk. Vayichar av Shaul b'Yonason. Shaul gets furious with Yonason. Vayyom Elon, he says to him, Ben na'avas amardus. Nobody knows what the word na'avas means. I mean, everybody gives a different theory. The son, well, I'll read the Ma'am in a second, but the son of the something of rebellion. Haloya dati, you don't think I know? Ki bochir atol ben Yishai, that you have chosen to befriend. ...of the nakedness of your mother. It's very strange, Losha. So what's going on here? So we have to see a couple of mepharshim, and then I want to go off on a tangent a little bit. Let's first see the Ma'am, which is the most simple explanation. Ma'am starts at the bottom of the previous page. First column, bottom previous page. 174-ish. Ben Avasamadus. Don't turn the page. We're on this same page where we were. Mitzayin Bimelitza. Shaul is describing with a metaphor as Hamered, the rebellion, the Etzma Mushar, as an abstract concept. The Derech Hamered, the normal way of rebellion is Sheyimrod Eved Al Adonav, that a slave will rebel against his master. We frokulo to remove the yoke upon his shoulders. Olim Loch Tacht over to be king instead of him. Avalo Sheyimrod Ben Baviv. But no son will rebel against his father, Lamlich Tachtov Ish Nachri, to put upon him another foreign stranger. Vimikre Zev, that'll occur, who merit shall she go, and it's a crazy rebellion, it's a stupid coup. When's you gonna make a coup? Who are you gonna make a coup for? Yourself. Gonna make a coup for somebody else. So you're gonna rebel against the king in order to put somebody else as being the king. If you rebel against the king, you should make yourself king, right? Machiavellian Politics 101. Prussian. So he says, you are an idiot, Yonason. That's what he's saying. Navas, the Malvim explains, is a Lushan, Vimikres, El Merit, Shoshigon, Vivusasechel, and distortion of the mind. Somebody tell him, Raid, Navas, Mashuga, you are an imbecile. Your rebellion is a stupid rebellion. Male, if you rebelled against me, your father, in a beneficial way. But you're rebelling against me by giving David permission in a way which is not beneficial to you. Adarabba, it's negative to you. It's destructive to you. Because if you let David flee all the time, one of these days he's just going to be able to flee altogether, and he's going to become king. For this purpose, to rebel against me, that's stupid. And remember, this embarrassment to you, an embarrassment to the nakedness of your mother, meaning that the kingship will be taken away from her. progeny, Elish Nachri to a foreign individual. Now, that's the Malbim. Let's see the Rabag, and also want to see the Mitzudas Dabi. Rabag says here, next column, Ben Avasa Madus. Ritzolomar means to say, Me'uvasa Musar, not distorted in terms of mental capacity, but distorted in ethics. Kiliomar, and this is saying that he's saying to Yonison, Shol saying to Yonison, your ethics are warped. Because your mother never rebuked you when you were young. That's why you never rebuked properly. Yeah, what's in Bimardus?
The word is crud. I can't figure out what the word is.
Musar. And so what you're doing is a rebellion against ethics. That's why when we talk about the floggings which the rabbis give, we call them floggings against rebellion. So according to this interpretation, what it's saying is when navas means distorted, but distorted in terms of your ethical approach. You don't have the proper ethics because you never taught properly, and that's why you're giving up the kingship. Oh yeah, what's a bimardus? Or mardus can mean memshola. In other words, that there's a rebellion against the kingship here. Not against ethics, but against the kingship. Meinia vayer v'yerd miyamariyam. Oh, I'm interpreting this wrong. I'm interpreting the Rabag wrong. Just a minute. Ben Avas Mardus, the first time of the Rabag, the word Mardus means Musar. Because Makas Mardus, which is the flogging, which the rabbis give it to transgressing Averus, is a type of Musar, a type of rebuke. So therefore, Ben Avas Mardus, the first time of the Rabag, means you are a child who is distorting the rebukes which I and your mother have given you. In other words, you're not listening to our rebuke, you're being navas. You're distorting our mardus, our musar of you. Our ethical rebukes of you. That's one interpretation. Then Rabag says, oh yeah, what's a mardus memshola? The word mardus can mean rule, kingship, the powers of a monarch. It says about Mashiach, he will rule, he will be rodeh, which is the lashon of ruling from sea to sea. So voyeisen nachum. There's a more proper interpretation. You hear some sense. It's connoting here. Shu beni shah shein ruil memshala. You are the son of a woman, and you are not suitable for our kingship. Avu muvas b'davra mucha. But either your mother or you yourself are both are distorted in terms of your capacity to rule. Ki ain mina, just like a mutla. Saying, I guess he's saying, just like a woman shouldn't be a master, right? You shouldn't have a woman as a king. So to Vizayomar Bionison, so they say, but Yonison should build the royal man and show that he's not suitable to be a king as well. Because he's choosing to David Amel. So according to the second shot in the Malbim, the Rabbag, if I understand it correctly, I'm not sure I do at this point, he's saying that you are distorted in terms of your kingship, just like a woman is distorted. In other words, just like a woman cannot serve as king, so you can't serve as king because you're giving away the story, you're giving everything to David HaMelech. Okay, that's the Rabbag. Now, he doesn't explain that. Now I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, Mitzudas David says here, just like your mother is rebellious against me, which we've never seen before. New thing. So too you're like her. We've shabbat var merit. Then you're a rebeller, a rebel against me. I know. I know a long time ago, Shatabuchar ben Yishai, you choose the son of Yishai. Leos Molech to be a ruler, Mizel Boshchan is embarrassment for you, and Leboshes Haigolos Dofi Mecha, and this rebels, the rebellion of your mother. Kalo Yom Rabios, because the people will say, Ain Zakim Zin Soimo must be that Yonason, if he's giving away the kingship, is not his father's son. Rather, his mother must have been Mizane, and given birth to Yonasan from another father, Vireno ben Shol, and he's not the child of Shol. They all have Lusone Shol, and that's why he loves the enemies of Shol. So Quentin Sudas David, introducing an issue which we never saw before in Sefer Shmuel. Seems that Shol's wife was a questionable woman, and therefore Yonasan is saying, he's saying to Yonasan, if you give David the kingship, or you aid and abet him, then that's a riot that your mother was Mizana. Or at least people are going to say, oh, it's a proof that Shol's wife was Mizana, because otherwise why would his son give away his father's heritage? It must be that he's not his father's son. It's pretty wild. We're not aware of this from anywhere else. That's only from the Mesudas David. Now, the thing is, there's another interpretation, which is Rashi, the name of the Medrash. And Rashi says, this is very important, Rashi says, Ben Na'avasim Ardus, I'm not going to read it inside, but Na'avasi gives two meanings. Na'avasi says means to go away, na, to travel, or to go out from somewhere. Lanua is to go away. And Na'avas also means wine. It brings down the Targum and the Pasuk, it's a wine press. Kenova Achoso, it brings down some pasuk which is translated in he brings down from the pasuk Vayechi Chachlili Enai Miyayin that Yitufu Navoi Bechemor, that Unklus translates there that Navoi, his vineyards or his wine press, will drip with wine. So what's the connotation of this? So it brings down a medrash. If you look here in the Rashi, which is Hamardus Davar Acher, see that Rashi starts Davar Acher, the first word in the line, Kshechotu B'nei Binyamin B'Ibno Shiloh. When the tribe in Yemen, after they were decimated with the Maisa Pilegish Begiva, you know, with the whole thing with the concubine at the end of Shofti, we have no Shiloh, so they went to grab from the daughters of Shiloh. She Yotzul Achol Bekromi and went to dance in the vineyards on Tu B'Av, remember? So a week late, week ago it's Tu B'Av, but all right, it's close enough. And I wasn't here last week, so I couldn't do it last week. So the Shol was being from the tribe of Binyamin, was supposed to go out and grab a girl. Hoya Shol Baisha. So Shol was a bachelor. V'lo ratzo achtof, and went and grabbed a girl. Ashebosa hi atzma. So his wife himself ran after him. V'iza b'nei, and she was brazen. V'rod for achrav, and she ran after him. So ben na'avas ma'adus means your mother was a outgoing woman, and in the vineyards, both these connotations are in na'avas, in the vineyards she ran after me, and you're displaying her negative character traits right now. That's what it means, okay? Your mother was like that, and I see that you have the same negative connotation and negative trait as well. Now, this got me thinking and free associating this pasuk. Let's come take a look here with me in my notes. On the last page. Shaul is attributing to the mother, we don't know her name, but to Yonasan's mother, his wife, the Mida of Leah. Leah is called a Yatsanis. Says, you know, when Leah got the right to have Yaakov come to her tent, because she gave the Dudoim, the jasmine flowers of Reuven to Rachel, so it says there about Hitze Leah. Leah went out to greet Yaakov, say, you're coming to me tonight. So that was a brazen gesture. So Shol saw, your mother had that meat of Leah, who was the Yatsanis, an outgoing brazen woman, which often has negative connotations of pretzus, such as later on it says the reason why Dina went out, and later in Breishis it says the reason why Dina went out and she started consorting with the people in Shechem is because she had her mother's trait of being a Yatsanis, of going out and mingling and, you know, being outgoing and all that kind of stuff. So Shol associated Yonasan with his mother, with his trait of Leah, and with his trait of Dina, of course. And this is what led him to fly off the handle. Now, I just realized, I don't know if it's connected at all, but the first time the name Shol appears in Tanakh is that it says that Shimon's son was Shol. Shimon from the 12 Shvatim. And it says Shol ben Aknanis. That's what it says there. And Chazal say that who was the Knanis, who was Shimon's wife and Shol's mother? Anybody remember? Oh, Dina. And she's called the Knanis because she consorted with the Knanim in Shechem. So it's interesting that there Shol appears in conjunction with the Leah and Dina, and here too the same Mida repeats itself later in history with Shol's wife, who is also Yatsanis and followed in the same pattern as that original Dina, who was the mother of the first Shol. So I don't know what to make of that, but it's interesting. It's not just a coincidence. So in any event, obviously this caused him to fly, this little association caused him to fly off the handle. That's why I use such a base expression at the end, Leboshes Erva Simecha. And I think that this is what allowed, this is what caused him to have a tremendous grudge against Yonasan here, and against David. Because after all, the salient traits of Binyamin is that they are from the children of Rachel. And the children of Rachel are more reserved, introverted. They refrain from associating so much. That's why you have Rachel being, very modest and very humble and giving away the simonim in order that her sister shouldn't be embarrassed. She wasn't outgoing, even when it was going to be to a detriment to be so modest, shy, and humble. So Shol sees Yonasan associating with David, who was obviously a child of Yehuda, who came from Leah, and he sees that this is completely, totally in diametric opposition to what Shol represents. And that's why Shol is very, very upset at this. And he's saying, oh, now I see you are now not manifesting my trait, which is the trait of Rachel, which is the trait of being reserved, introverted, and bashful. But rather, you're manifesting the trait of the children of Leah. And that's why you have the affinity of to David. And that's why you're becoming an outgoing, I should say probably expressive person, because after all, that's what we said, Yonasan got from David, that expression of love and outgoingness and, I guess, friendliness and all that kind of stuff, which was antithetical to Shol. And Shol thought, this is a terrible problem, which he got from his mother, not from me, which is a terrible trait, which is eventually going to lead to his downfall. And Shol didn't realize that it was a mila for Yonasan. He was so wrapped up in his own personal grudges and animosities that he couldn't see anymore that this was a mila to a certain extent. And that Yonasan found his completion, his perfection, in the friendship and love between him and David. And his rest in this regard sort of brings down, if you take a look here at the bottom, I have an asterisk. So he said, it sort of says, this is something which later on in the Tanakh disappears. And David is called some places David, some places Ben Yishai. Chiras David, Chaisa Mitzad, Milas Atmo. David chose because he had his own Milas. The guy Mitzad of even he also had his father's Milas. And that's why it says that Hashem says to Shmuel, "Kirisi bevan of Limelch, I saw in the children of David, children of Yishai, a king." So Hashem himself expressed that Yishai had certain milas, which caused his child to be taken as a king. The Shol says Sono, Shol who hated David, the other milas, but knew of his advantages. Chashav, he thought that any milah which David had, all came from David's father, from Yishai. That's why all throughout this parak, Shol calls David Ben Yishai. Not David. Always Ben Yishai. Madulobo Ben Yishai, Bochatol Ben Yishai. Because he thought all of David's milah was from Yishai. But the truth is, David had his own milah. Now, what was the milah which he got from Yishai? What was the milah which David, which Shol understood? Yishai, it says, was one of the four people who died just because of the Nachash. Just because of the curse given to Adam Rishon at the time that he succumbed to the sin of the Eitz Hadas, right? That means he had no taiva. He was completely pure in matters of lust, in matters of desire in matters of which had to do with the attribute of Leah. He wasn't parutz at all. He was completely reserved and guarded. That's something Shaul understood. Shaul understood the Myra of David, which he got from Yishai. In other words, whatever Madrega David had from Yishai, which is the complete purity in terms of abstention from any type of taiva. He couldn't see at all the Myra and Madrega in the Ava and in the outgoingness which David had and in his willingness to go towards and build bonds and build connections. He thought, as far as he was concerned, he thought, oh, that's a manifestation, like the Ralbag said before, of David's love of having relations with women, or like the Malbim said, of David's constant tendency towards emissions or whatever the case may be. He couldn't understand that David had any Mila in and of himself. Whatever Mila David might have had could only be a Mila which he got from Yishai, which is a type of Mila which Shaul could understand, the Mila being pure, of having great Yerushalayim, of being abstinence, of refraining, of being inward directed, of being a bison, of having humility or bashfulness. He couldn't understand all the positive traits of David, which David had in terms of Ava and Chesed, in terms of outgoingness. And that's why here he comes and he criticizes Yonasan and says, Yonasan, these traits are your mother's traits. They are negative traits. We don't want these traits. Stay away from them. And he didn't realize that these were positive traits, which Yonasan now had received from David HaMelech. We'll continue from here next week.